Lee Raymond, and then Rex Tillerson, trotted out a standard ExxonMobil script when they spoke about anti-American, anti-corporate resource nationalism in Venezuela, Russia, the Middle East, and elsewhere. ExxonMobil's executives had seen oil nationalization waves come and go over many decades, they asserted. And yet, in the long run, most governments would see that their economic interests lay in partnering with private corporations. Before his retirement, Raymond had spoken of the particular problem of Hugo Chavez with a hint of condescension. I worked in Venezuela a long time ago. I guess my comment would be, patience. Tillerson preferred the language of business realism, but his thrust was the same. Latin American governments enamored of resource nationalism should recognize that it was in their own interest to find a way to invite and open up to foreign investment because of the technologies and the know-how that's needed to benefit fully from their oil and gas reserves. ExxonMobil's vocal stance about contract sanctity had a pragmatic aspect. It was a form of bargaining by deterrence. The corporation operated in about 200 countries, and it had major oil production operations in several dozen. If it renegotiated contracts in one country, others would surely take notice and might exploit the opening. By the time of the Hugo Chavez imbroglio, the thinking of ExxonMobil's senior executives about the sanctity of contracts had evolved beyond business strategy into a philosophy of global governance. The spread of international law regimes and trade treaties had given birth to global business arbitration forums at the World Bank and International Chambers of Commerce. In its contracts with national oil companies or foreign governments, the corporation inserted elaborate clauses guaranteeing ExxonMobil's rights to international arbitration before these bodies if the host country tried to alter contract terms, royalty rates, or taxation. Through these contract provisions, ExxonMobil evaded the conundrums of 200 different systems of national property rights. It drew all of the host governments with which it contracted into a universal system of arbitration at the World Bank and the International Chambers. The corporation's purpose, said the industry consultant, was to approximate a global law, one defined not by national parliaments or the United Nations, but by the binding dispute resolution regime of ExxonMobil's worldwide contracts. ExxonMobil relied upon this system more than on the United States government, and the corporation's international competitors took a free ride on ExxonMobil's hard line. Chevron, BP, Shell, Total, and the rest benefited in general from the education and contract standards campaigns that ExxonMobil mounted with oil-owning governments, but the competitors retained flexibility. They could more easily make contract compromises when it suited them because they did not have such a visible declaratory policy. When Vladimir Putin, during 2006, demanded to renegotiate one of ExxonMobil's remaining contracts in Russia, President George W. Bush telephoned Rex Tillerson to discuss the affront, according to reports of the call that circulated among the corporation's managers. The Bush administration was by now thoroughly disabused of its romanticism about oil capitalism under Putin. Its optimism had ended when Putin arrested Mikhail Khodorkovsky, the president of Yukos, with whom Lee Raymond had negotiated unsuccessfully during 2003. 3 years later, Khodorkovsky remained in prison. He made impassioned speeches about democracy while appearing periodically in Russian courtrooms, confined to a cage, and he was emerging as an unlikely symbol of credible dissent. Bush said that his administration stood ready to dive into oil diplomacy to push back against Putin's attempts at renegotiation. Tillerson thanked the president, but afterward, through its Washington office, the company begged the Bush administration to stay away. The message ExxonMobil's K Street staff sent to the White House was, in essence, Putin is one of the less offensive heads of state we deal with. We'll do much better on our own.